everybody. Welcome to Magic the Amateuring. It's me, Ben Gartner. I'm here with my two friends. They know who they are.
Yeah, I know who I am. My name's Megan. I'm one of the amateurs.
I don't know who I am, but I'm gonna guess just from looking at myself in this pocket mirror that my name is Olivia.
Oh gosh, you're close, so close.
So close.
So let's go process. Oscar. Wait, process of elimination. There are three people on this podcast.
Great.
Megan, Maria, and Ben.
Okay, Ben. I'm Ben.
Okay.
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 All right.
Okay.
Okay. That was Maria. For everyone who's a first-time listener, they're like, "Why is that woman crazy?" The answer is, we don't know.
We don't know, exactly.
Welcome to Magic the Amateuring. If this is your first time listening, we're a podcast about learning how to play Magic the Gathering. I've been playing for a long time, but recently I taught these two how to play, and now they want to know stuff.
Yep, we want to know stuff.
That's one of the consequences of teaching. FYI.
Is that then you just want to know more.
Never doing that again.
So on our podcast this week, we're going to talk a little bit about M14 because that's coming out this weekend. And now you know what everything in it is. How about that?
Yeah, it's been spoiled. So get to your local game store and start slinging some spells.
Where's the spoiler? Where can I find the spoiler?
You can find it online.
By Googling, Ben. Just use Google.
Guys, I was asking for people who don't know how to find the spoiler.
Ben, Google it.
What's an M14 pre-release?
It's wow. The first time you get to play with the cards in this new core set. It's a core set, Ben. Not a corset like what you wear to hide your fat rolls.
But a core space set.
So this would be like an ideal set for someone who hasn't played Magic in a long time.
Yeah.
It's amazing because when a card has any sort of ability, then it has little parentheses that tell you exactly what that ability does, which is super handy if you're just learning or if you've been away for a while.
So if I don't know what lifelink is, it'll tell me right on the card?
It'll tell you right on the card what lifelink is.
And if I don't know what flying is, it'll tell me right on the card?
Ben, it's not going to tell you what flying means.
If you don't know what flying is, oh God, I feel real bad for you. You've never seen Superman.
Nope. I think if you don't know what flying means, then none of the extra text on the cards is going to help you just at all.
Wow, Jesus, you guys. Some of our listeners might not know what flying means.
You guys.
Listener, if you don't know what flying is, look perhaps at a bird.
Not one that's on the ground.
Nope.
You guys, wait until it's not on the ground.
What if one of our listeners got selective amnesia?
Ooh, were you
from a coconut?
A bad coconut?
From the wrong part of the tracks.
Okay, a bad coconut gave our listener amnesia.
Yeah.
Selective amnesia.
And now they don't know what flying is.
Listener.
And they're trying to block stuff, and they're like, "What's going on?"
Listener.
And it's like, why didn't he attack?
Flying just means that it's flying and it can't be blocked by creatures who aren't also flying.
You defined it with
itself.
Or have
reach.
Okay, yeah, that was a bit of a recursive definition.
Okay, but it was still explaining. It was explaining, you know, like.
It was explaining.
It was effectively telling you what you need to know.
The main point is the core set.
You were gisting it all over me.
You really got gisted.
Man, there's gist all over your face, Ben. We're done here. The core set is good for learners because it's more basic than you might say an expansion set. Is that what you'd call them, an expansion set is?
I think they call them expert sets.
But oh, yeah, really?
It's expansion, sure.
You learn something new every day.
I think these are just all expansions.
Yeah, from the first,
from Alpha, yeah. Okay.
True. So what's unique about a core set? What can I expect like when I'm playing it? How is it different than, say, if I was playing Dragon's Maze?
Well, the biggest difference from Dragon's Maze specifically is that there's not going to be a butt boat full of multicolored cards.
A butt boat?
Yeah.
A butt yacht for rich people.
Yeah. Also, I don't remember what I was gonna say, so I'm gonna
Megan, what
that one.
What you're gonna say is there will be it'll feel a little dirtier, if that makes any sense. Like, the creatures are going to probably seem a little bit less powerful.
Oh.
The bombs in the format might be a little bit more important. That's what tends to happen. But honestly, like, I haven't looked at the spoiler enough to know exactly what this core set's going to look like. In the past, core sets have felt kind of boring, but lately they've really been up in the ante on the old core set games. So
yeah.
I'm going to reserve judgment, unlike the last blind date I went on.
What judgment did you pass on that?
Well, she was wearing all flannel pajamas, and so I was like, she must be a farmer.
Was it a sleepover?
It was. I was not invited.
Oh, you crashed it. Ben, that's not a blind date. That's breaking and entering.
But there are some creatures, some good creatures come out of the core sets, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure,
so sure, can we, sure. Like, let's go over for just a second. What are some M13 spells or creatures that you see in sets right now? Or that you see in decks right now?
I think one of the big ones is Thundermaw Hellkite.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah, for sure.
So he's like this big dragon with haste, and he deals one damage to all like flying creatures defending player controls or something.
What's flying?
Basically, he's a card that's designed to kill lingering souls tokens.
Okay. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because then all of your souls tokens are dead.
Yeah.
They're dead.
Bye, souls tokens. I'm gonna miss you.
You can't linger here anymore. And then those poor souls, they don't even get to go to the graveyard. They get exiles.
They get exiles for reals.
Those poor guys.
I gotta say, looking at this core set, just glancing through it, I noticed kind of a lot of interesting cards. I was expecting it to be a lot more boring than my eyes gave me.
You're wrong.
Well, I'm wrong that
you
it
were, is. You were wrong. It is boring. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
What did you find interesting, Maria?
Well, there are just some really neat cards with neat abilities.
What
I think
popped out at you and punched you in the nose?
Well, I'm gonna say the number one thing that punched me in the throat was Slivers.
Oh, okay, Slivers.
Yeah, I mean, apparently they brought these back from a previous set, correct?
Yes, they used to be all over the place. I never played the set where they were originally in, but they were everywhere.
And now they're back with a vengeance. Some people are mad because apparently Slivers used to affect all Slivers,
yeah,
but now they only affect your own.
Yeah.
And their art is different, updated. But
yep.
That's the part that really gets me upset. How dare you change that art?
So if people at your pre-release are making jokes about how they look different, maybe now you'll get them.
Yep.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
They used to look like these little dudes with one claw, and they would just like drag themselves along by the claw.
How do you know they drag themselves?
I mean, I assume maybe they like swung from branches on the claw.
That would be impressive.
That's creepy.
That is creepy.
Just dragging yourself along the ground like, you all have +1/+1. You guys, someone just got shot.
I wow. did hear a firework go off today at about like 11:30 a.m.
Hey, party's
guys.
Still going.
It's 4th of July.
Yeah.
Woo!
Keeping it real.
America.
Yep. So let's talk about Slivers a little bit more. What are some of the changes? Is there anything besides the art and the fact that what one Sliver does doesn't affect all the Slivers on the board?
Nope.
That's it.
That is it. Okay, that's
and
fair.
And there's
that's
one,
fair.
I believe, one rare in each color.
Yes.
One rare Sliver?
I believe
yes.
so.
And that Sliver gives all other Slivers that you control an ability. Like the white one is double strike.
All the Slivers do that.
All the Slivers give other Slivers abilities?
Yeah.
Okay, but these ones are especially good ones.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of the Sliver's deal, is that each Sliver will give, in this case, all the Slivers that you control an ability. So it might be +1/+1, or it might be flying, or it might be first strike, or it might be swamp walking.
Yeah, double strike.
Or it might be double strike, or it might be vigilance, or it might be haste.
All right, Ben, stop it.
Shut up.
Pay 2 blue mana to untap this
I'm trying to find the blue one.
Yeah, so the white one, the white rare sliver is double strike.
Mm.
Blue is flying.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, snap.
I like the art on that blue one. 1-1. It's a little 1-1 flying dude. It's pretty cute.
He's not going to be 1-1 for long.
Because you've got some other slivers on the way.
That's not
rare. The red one.
Where is it?
I don't know. Nope, never mind. Nope.
Did you lose your sliver, miss?
Yeah, can you help me find it?
I found it.
I'll check around behind the stable.
Oh, well, thanks, Mr. Stablehand.
You're welcome, but I'm not doing this for free.
I'll give you $5.
Okay.
Thanks. Did you find it?
Nope.
I did. Don't talk to that old guy. He's
creepy.
Bad news.
That old stable hand?
Yeah, if you give
him... I'm just trying to make $5.
You are not. I know what you do.
What?
I know you take that $5 and you invest in a pyramid scheme and you rip off everybody in the county.
That's right.
I'm investing in a pyramid scheme, wouldn't I be getting ripped off?
That's also happening.
Yeah, somehow you managed to do this.
But you're right, I should be starting the pyramid scheme.
No, I've given it.
Do you guys want to invest in a pyramid scheme?
Nope.
It's a crazy old stable hand. You beat it.
The red sliver, the red rare, gives whenever this creature attacks, it deals 1 damage to target creature or player. So that's for all slivers.
That seems pretty sweet.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty sweet.
It's like
I mean, double strike and flying are both also sweet.
I agree.
But
he's a 2/2 for 5.
You can shoot two stuff.
Yeah.
Is there one that gives slivers death touch?
I bet you if they do, it's the black one.
I bet you it's the black one.
It could be black.
It could
also be green.
We'll find out.
What? I think the black one gives them lifelink.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. There's like lifelink in black this set, which is kind of a... Is that weird? I don't know. I thought it should be only one.
No, that's normal.
There's that dagger drone imp right now in Ravnica. Yep. He's a black card with death touch.
So if you don't know what lifelink is, it means when this creature deals damage, you also gain that much life. And in black, it's like, oh, I'm sucking your life out into me. Now your life's in me.
I guess that's kind of a black ability.
And in white, it's like, hey, I'm gaining life.
Yay!
And I'm also chopping you with an axe.
Black is, in fact, lifelink. Sliver.
Nice. All slivers get lifelink?
Yeah.
All right.
All slivers get lifelink.
So if my slivers have lifelink and they deal 1 damage to target creature or player, that means I also get to gain 1 life.
Aw, snap. So if you go for that black-red sliver combination.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
There's probably other stuff that's even better.
Can I just bring up this card, Rootwalla, for everybody?
Oh, yeah.
What? That's just a picture that someone took of like their lizard.
I know. That's what I was going to say. It's a picture. It's a lizard. It's 2 and a green. It's a 2/2. So it also has 1 and a green. You get +2/+2 till end of turn. You can only use it once. But man, that picture of that lizard, someone just walked up to their tank and just took a picture.
Exactly. Roger Rob. We know what you did.
It also he must
not
be,
everyone thinks your gecko is cute.
He must be in the pre-pump state.
In that picture?
Yeah.
He is a 2/2 in that picture.
Ben, are you in a pre-pump state right now?
Yep. You don't even want to know what I look like pumped.
Nope, you're right when you say that. I don't.
Yeah, so the Rootwalla is a reprint. It's like the Beetleform Mage or the...
But it also is a new art because the original lizard that they took a picture of died.
Sad. It's like Keyboard Cat. You know, it died like 15 years ago, but its spirit lives on.
Yep.
The green sliver gives all slivers +3/+3, FYI.
What?
So there you
go. What's the name of that sliver?
Nice.
Megantic Sliver.
What? Is that like mega and gigantic? Is that a portmanteau?
I think that's the name of a transformer.
Megantic.
You think or you know?
That's what you call me when I get mad.
I know,
and also
it's
when
not.
I'm made of metal.
So I have to think that it is.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So Ben, if you're like thinking, hey, I really hope that I get to build a sliver deck. Which I don't know, shut up. Which one of these five rares would you be most happy to open?
I don't even know, man.
Like, really?
The flying one seems sweet, but plus three. How much does that one cost?
Six.
Yeah, that one's probably pretty good. Why don't I just get both?
Okay.
I'd take that blue and that green one, sure.
If you have +3/+3, you don't need to be flying. You can just beat the shit out of everybody on the ground.
But what if they have a million one ones? Well, what if they played Truck of One Ones?
Oh, that's right. That's the brother card to Truck of Bears. Then you're
in
trouble.
It's really weird to see one ones in the title of a card.
Truck of and it's just the 1/1.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you never see a muscle man on a plane. They don't need to fly.
Yeah.
They're so big on the ground.
Who's gonna get in their way?
No, nobody.
No car on the highway is gonna go into that.
Nope. They are gonna be fine.
So in a core set draft, are we still thinking about drafting 2-color decks? I mean, is that the norm? Or, I mean, will we see more 1-color? Or more multicolor, do you think?
Oh.
I mean, look, we come from a 2-color guild set.
That's right. Maria and I have, I think we did one sealed of M13,
and that was
it.
Well, the biggest difference is in the core set, there's a lot more racism.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
So it's much more monocolored up in there.
Oh, well.
Really?
No.
Oh.
Almost all decks are 2-colored.
Okay.
It is, like, once in a while it's possible that, like, if no one else in the table is taking your color, or maybe like only one other person is, you might end up like monocolor. And some colors, like maybe I would say black or green, like lend themselves very well to being monocolor decks.
Why?
Well, for black, they make a lot of cards where it's like, do this for every swamp you control, or they have cards that can pump for every black mana, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like with red, there's fire breathing and stuff like that. And with green, there's a lot of like forests do stuff, or like I've got like four forests in my casting cast, and I want forests.
I want forests.
Crazy stable hand man. Go back.
Now,
go back to where
I've tried to cash this $5 and it bounced.
That's a tree stump.
If the only reason I would go monocolor, though, is if the cards I was getting were just, like, so good that it was like, oh, I guess I just don't even have to be any other color. And then your deck is very consistent.
Oh, my God. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Because you never get color screwed. Like, you just draw the lands that you put in there, and that's it. Usually, though... One of the things you can do is you can start out like, oh, I'm going to be in this color. You know, you take some good card in the first pick and you're like, well, I'm going to try to be in this color and then I'll see what else comes to me. And then, you can, like, if one color is really coming to you, you can take all that stuff. And then if you still want to play the good rare that you took, then you can just do that.
Whereas hey, are there gates in this thing?
Gates? No. Let's look at the lands. Actually, I was really interested to see what the lands would look like, because in the last core set, they had dual lands, and in the last block, they had dual lands, and then obviously in Return to Ravnica, they had dual lands. So the big question everyone that I want to know, and I'm sure everyone was agreeing with me, was what are they going to reprint the same dual lands or new ones? And the answer is that there are no dual lands in this set.
Oh, snap.
Wow.
There are three non-basic lands in the set. One of them is Shimmering Grotto. This is a reprint from Innistrad. Maria, what does it do?
You can tap it to add one colorless to your mana pool, or you can pay one and tap it to add one of any color to your mana pool.
And the flavor text?
Untold riches await those who forsake the bustling world to search the secret silent place. I'm being choked. That person in there.
So how good would you say that thing is?
Not great.
Why?
Because I don't want to pay another. I don't want to pay one to give any color. I just don't.
That would actually. That's like disadvantage. That's disadvantage.
It's a drawback.
Yeah, it's a drawback because now if I have to use it to cast a specific color, then I'm one behind.
Yeah.
My mana.
Exactly. Yes, that's exactly the way to think about it. It makes all your things more expensive. So like, you might have your thing and you still can't cast it, even though you have the land.
Yes. Why are all of my 2 drops now 3 drops?
Gross.
So in Innistrad, it wasn't great. Innistrad was, there were not very many multicolor cards either. But in Innistrad, everyone always wanted to splash for the flashback cost on a card, or to play like Brimstone Volley or something. And so once in a while you would throw it in if you had no other options. But
yeah,
it's not great. It's not great, but if you have a bomb, why not?
Yeah.
Just keep in mind, it's going to make your bomb more expensive.
Yeah. So then the next one is Mutavault.
Ah.
Weird.
Mutavault.
This is a weird one.
You can tap to add one colorless, mm-hmm. or you can pay one, and it becomes a 2/2 creature with all creature types until end of turn.
Like a sliver.
So I guess if you're running some slivers, that's probably helpful.
Yeah. So I haven't looked at the rest of the set, but I'm guessing that that card is going to be real sweet. And even just having a land that can turn into a bear, that's pretty good.
Yep.
For one.
One is actually really cheap for a man land, which is what we call these.
A what land?
A man land.
Why?
It's a land that turns into...
A man.
The man of your dreams. What creature type do you want in
for
a man,
one?
Maria?
Wizard.
He's got
okay.
it.
Okay.
I didn't even have to think, you guys.
Maria, it's just creepy stable man in disguise.
Oh, no.
Hope you don't mind that there's a little bit of Nightmare Horse mixed in that wizard.
Nightmare Horse, my card of the week. Don't spoil it.
All right, what's the last non-basic land?
The last non-basic land is my nickname for a porta-potty, Encroaching Wastes.
Yep.
Tapped at one colorless, or pay 4 and tap, sacrifice it, and destroy target non-basic land.
Oh, 4 mana to destroy a non-basic land. So if they have, like, Mutavault.
Yeah, that's about the only time
you're
I want it.
Destroying.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, this card kind of made me laugh a little bit because there's another card called Wastelands, which is basically this, except, what does it cost, 1 to destroy a land, or is it just free?
I don't know.
It's, like, much better.
No.
And it's, like, really too good. And so here they were like, well, this seems not too good, so maybe this will be fine.
Maybe we'll just do this.
I have a question.
What?
So, okay, Megan and I are used to guilds, and we're used to like having certain abilities attached to those guilds.
Yeah.
And like, you know, for instance...
Do you feel lost?
That's what I'm about to say, because, you know, you played Simic, and you knew that you were going to try and evolve.
Mm.
Or, you know, you played whatever. Gruul, and you're going to try and... Blood rush people and stampede over them. So my question is, doesn't seem to really be the case here. So are you going to be trying to draft, you know, way still? Or?
Well, I'll say, first of all, if you're going to the pre-release, you don't really have to worry about that too much because you just lay out your pool and figure out from there, okay, what am I doing? But you do still want your deck to have something of a plan, right?
Right.
And so there will probably be a few like archetypes in this deck or in this format that people discover, and they're like, these are kind of the best archetypes, and they'll usually be like, certain color combinations will be better than others. Like, for example, blue-green is usually a pretty hard color combo because it doesn't get any removal, really.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It might get some bounce, like blue will definitely have some bounce, and then green might have like some fight, but that's about it. So, like, what are some classic archetypes from throughout history?
Yeah.
One really popular one that's pretty much always an option is blue-white skies.
Love it.
So the key to this is you want a bunch of flyers. You know, like anything that can attack for 2 in with flying is pretty good. And then you want a few guys that just block.
Right, so it's like Azorius' plan, basically.
Yep, exactly. And then... Another good deck that's usually pretty good is if you have like green black or green red, you get a bunch of really big green creatures, and then use black or red to get you the removal you need to like help make sure these creatures can get in.
Okay.
You know, there's like blue black can usually be like a really controlling deck, and then the other color combos it kind of like just depends on what's in the set.
Sure.
Obviously, there's a lot of slivers in this set, and there's probably going to be, like, I know there's slivers in all colors, but some of the colors are probably going to be better at slivers than others.
Yes, I agree.
Me too.
You're just going to have to look and see if those slivers are coming around.
Why?
Now I'm the creepy caretaker.
No, yeah, you're not the creepy caretaker. You're like the creepy barkeep.
Do you want whiskey in that? It's already in there.
What I really want is someone to cash my $5.
Look, creepy stable hand, creepy barkeep. I just want to sit here and have a drink by myself.
Well.
And I don't have a way to cash your $5.
Okay, well, let me know if you see an ATM.
Creepy stable hand, do you know how ATMs work?
I would also appreciate any input on that matter.
Okay.
Do you want to talk to me, though?
All right, you
Everyone
guys.
Everyone I know is dead.
Okay, so that's M14. If you guys, you know, maybe you haven't played Magic in a while, but you can hear the sound of my voice anyway, I would encourage you to go check out your local game store, give them a call, the telephone, or the website, and see if they're doing an M14 pre-release. It will be a very fun event, low pressure. One will get mad at you if you don't know all the rules, and everyone's usually pretty cool.
And if you can hear this voice and you're in a coma, wake up.
Because you're not going to want to miss this. Wake up, take a shower.
Oh, good point.
Work out some of the muscle atrophy.
Say hello to your friends and family. They're probably worried.
They're probably at the pre-release.
If they're any kind of friends you want to have.
You guys, yes. For the record, if I'm ever in a coma and there's a pre-release, you guys should go.
Oh, we'll wheel you there.
Okay, good.
And we'll wave fresh cards under your nose.
Yep, and that'll do it.
Oh, I think her toe twitched. Put that one in.
In her toe?
In her deck.
Oh.
It's her signal.
Okay. Yep.
I'm getting kind of sad because of that mental image.
Megan, I don't want to be mean, but if you were in a coma, I would call a judge for slow play.
All right, so what's our M14 card of the week?
Card of the week, M14 edition.
Woo!
Megan, what do you got?
So I have Goblin Diplomats.
Why?
Because, you guys, it's perfect. It's a red, one colorless, one red for a 2/1, and it has, if you tap the card, then all creatures must attack that turn.
If able.
Wow.
So all creatures must attack that turn if able. And, like, as I read it, I was like, you guys, that's perfect, because if goblins were diplomats, that's what would happen. That's what would happen. It's so true, you guys.
War.
Exactly. Can you imagine? Goblins would be like, hey, we're diplomats. And the other side would just be like, fucking no, fuck it. Attack them. Attack that shit.
I think it would sound a little bit something like this. Excuse me. This meeting of the UN must come to order.
Hey, everybody. We're representing the goblins.
I'm representing France, and these goblins stink.
France, you stink. You ever showered before?
Now, as everyone knows, France is on the verge of war with Belgium.
Yes, we are.
Dear, I heard the Belgians say that your country is full of stupid baguettes.
What?
And then they burned one.
The Belgians said this of us?
Yeah, the Belgians said that about you.
Oh, French, do not get angry. Must you attack?
Yeah, come on, Frenchies.
Well, since these goblins seem so intent on me attacking, I will attack this turn. We are able.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's no smoking in the UN meeting, though.
Oh, fuck you.
Wow, that was what a world.
They got France to go against Belgium. That would not normally happen.
No.
No, they're usually on the same team in a commander pod.
Yep, they usually are.
And you can't tell them apart either, so...
Yeah.
It's really awkward when they play against Italy and Austria because Italy and Austria couldn't find any other partners. And so it creates a lot of turmoil.
That's a spicy meatball.
All right, Maria, what's your card of the week?
My card of the week is one that tickled my funny bone, and that would be Nightmare. This is creature type Nightmare Horse. It's a rare. It's 5 and a black. Its power and toughness are equal to the number of swamps you control. And I just thought, I don't know why, I just thought it was so funny. It's just like, hey, don't buy that horse. That horse is a nightmare.
It's a nightmare horse. Oh, God.
It won't eat. It'll throw you off. Just a nightmare.
I tried to ride it. That's why my leg is broken.
Oh, just a nightmare.
It's just a nightmare horse.
I don't know. I want to make my own judgment.
All right.
You got $5 for this nightmare horse?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
Let me just go to my bank.
Sounds good. Wait, do you have an ATM where I can put this $5?
Oh, I've got an ATM where you can put it. Guys, you can't put money in ATMs.
You can put checks in ATMs.
I bet you can put money
in there. You can put money in there.
What?
Can't you?
I mean, you could, but you're not doing anything with it.
You're depositing it.
Yeah, I'm depositing it. I have a lot of cash for some reason, and I want to put it in this ATM.
You're a stripper.
Don't you want to pay it for this nightmare horse?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Oh, God, it's your problem now. It's your problem now.
What? No. Oh, it's burning everything.
This horse is such a nightmare.
How does that horse burn everything? He's a nightmare horse.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to hear my card of the week?
Yeah.
Yes.
From M14, introducing Young Pyromancer.
That kid is ripped.
Young Pyromancer, he costs 2 mana. He's a red card.
Maria, you're not allowed to say that. He looks too young.
Creature, human shaman. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, put a 1/1 red elemental creature token onto the battlefield. He is a 2/1, so he's a beater. And his flavor text reads as follows. Immolation is the sincerest form of flattery. Namaste.
It doesn't say namaste.
It doesn't say namaste. That would be awkward.
I was like, oh, that's really dumb.
This guy seems pretty cool, and you know, he might be fun if you have a Nivik Cyclops deck.
Hey, Ben,
you're gonna put it
in your Nivik Cyclops deck?
Guys, I don't want to talk about it. All I know is if you get him in the pre-release, save him for me.
Everyone, if you would like to mail your Young Pyromancer card to Ben, send us an email.
Is 333 North 33rd Street, zip code 33333.
Send us an email and I will give you Ben's address to send your Young Pyromancer card to.
I forgot to read.
We'll give you my P.O. box.
Okay, I'll give you his P.O. box.
My P.O. box number is
333.
Oh my God.
333.
And then 24 more threes. To make it 33 threes.
Awesome.
This is Nightmare Horse flavor text. The thunder of its hooves beats drums. Sorry, that's not right. The thunder of its hooves beats dreams into despair.
Whoa.
I'm not sure that makes sense.
Yikes. That's pretty bad.
Horse has flying.
I was having a good dream. Yeah, he is flying.
Holy shit.
He's a from your dream.
I love this horse.
Does he gallop on the ground?
There's a nightmare that I love.
Yeah, he's a big flying horse. So remember before when I was like, oh, some cards might reward you more for playing swamps.
That's one of the cards that would reward you more for playing swamps.
That's exactly how I remember you saying it. Funny.
Now, keep in mind, you do not have to be mono black just because you have a nightmare horse.
Oh, but I want to be.
But, hey, why not?
Hey, why not? So,
Also.
Yes.
Don't splash a Nightmare Horse off a Shimmering Grotto.
Ben, I'm going to splash a Nightmare Horse every time I get one.
It'll be a 0/0 with flying.
I love this 0/0 for 6 with flying, though.
But it's so cute.
It's such a nightmare.
Whoa.
Good.
You know how we always pick the cutest card of the set?
I do know how you pick it.
I guess I pick it.
You do.
Last set, that honor went to
Adaptive Snapjaw.
Is it Young Pyromancer?
Oh, no. It's Sire of Insanity.
It was Adaptive Snapjaw, then Sire of Insanity.
All right. Can we guess what you think it is?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Is it...
All right. If I know Maria's taste in cards, and I think I do.
Yeah.
I'm trying to even remember what I picked.
You can't pick Young Pyromancer. That's creepy.
No, I wouldn't. It's kind of a weird-looking card.
Is a weird-looking card.
God, what was it?
You don't even know?
I picked it before I came, and now I forgot.
Probably not pacifism.
But I love that guy. He's so cool.
The art in Show of Valor looks like that like a firefighter ran into a building for a doll.
Why does that firefighter not have a helmet on?
I feel like the guy in Silence... is kind of Maria's type.
That guy is creepy towns.
I think Siege Mastodon is kind of...
You think Siege Mastodon?
Weird.
What? Yeah, come on. He's a big old elephant wearing armor.
Oh, that guy's pretty cute, but he's not the winner.
He's pretty cute.
Pretty cute.
He's pretty cute.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, I think I remember what it was.
Oh.
Nice.
Maria would totally do Suntail Hawk.
She would do him.
That's not what the question is.
Oh, okay.
Is it Armored Cancrix?
What?
Oh, that guy's funny looking.
Gross. No, that grosses me out. So...
Come on, baby.
While we're, Wait, where...
By the way, everybody, I was the inspiration for the art on Opportunity.
What? That is what you look like.
Isn't that weird?
You should really get that looked at.
I want to do a card where I'm posing like this.
That's just a picture of Alan Williams's girlfriend.
Who?
The guy who did the card art.
All right, you guys. I'm looking at Maria's choice for cutest card of this set.
I can see it.
Is it Ace Memory Adept?
No.
No.
Ace Bellerin? It is... Dun-da-da-da!
Seacoast Drake!
He's pretty cute.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Look at him.
Pretty cute. Look at him.
Hey, it's Concordia Pegasus's brother.
Yeah, it is. Way cuter, brother.
Way cuter, brother.
So
I'd marry that one. Oh, real quick, going back to, this isn't quite a card of the week, but we could just talk about it for a sec.
It's a card of the of that Demi week.
A card of the, let's think about this. Blessing.
Yeah.
So it's 2 white,
mm-hmm.
It's an aura,
mm-hmm.
And what it gives your creature is it has the ability to pay 1 and give it +1/+1.
Oh.
So thoughts, blessing, good card, bad card.
Why do I have to pay for it when I've already paid for it?
Wow.
That's fair.
That sounds like a homeowner paying her taxes.
Yep.
Yep. I hear you. But at the same time, if I'm mono white or primarily white, well, then I did just give my creature like... Oh, I paid 2, but next time I can pump him for 4 or 5.
Okay, so what do you guys think? On a scale of 1 to 10, how good is this card?
I would say like a 4.
Okay, so we're talking about like sealed deck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, sealed deck? I like it better in sealed than I do in draft, I think.
What would you give it?
In sealed? Oh, man.
And I would say for a mono white deck, I would give it a 6.
Okay. What do you think, Maria?
Is this a mono white deck?
Sure. You can give it 2 numbers. One for
okay.
Whatever.
Normal 2-color deck, I'll give it a 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mono white deck, maybe I'll give it a 4.
I think this is a 2. I don't think this card's good at all.
It is kind of like a target. Like, any enchantment is a target, and this is also a target that also has, you have to pay for it again.
Yeah.
So,
you have to put a bunch of mana into this before it's any good, and then if your opponent kills it, you're like...
Shit, I just paid all that mana.
You're like Maria looks like when she finds another pocket in her pants.
What?
Extra pocket!
So you guys, blessing. the deciding vote.
Not a blessing.
Not a blessing.
Not as good as collective blessing.
Well, now.
Singular blessing. Yeah. Not as good.
Yeah. Hey, Uncle Ben / Cousin Ben.
What did you do this weekend?
Man, Uncle Ben, I went to a Magic Grand Prix.
Wow, who'd you go with?
Oh, man, I went with my friends, Ben and Matthias.
Oh, they sound really cool.
They were really cool.
What happened?
Well, we played some magic.
Oh, I remember that, doing that with you.
Oh, Uncle Ben, when I said friend Ben, I meant you. Don't you remember?
Yeah, Maria, were you there?
Nope.
No, you weren't.
Dear listener, Ben, Megan, and our friend Matthias went to Grand Prix Kansas City recently, this past weekend, and...
And one of us took 12th place.
Ooh, who could... What, maybe it's the pro player that I mentioned,
Hunt? It was not us, it was Matthias.
Yeah, so you guys, I was not there, unfortunately, but tell me, Megan, this is your first Grand Prix. How was it?
Oh, man, it was like... It was amazing. It was like when you're doing drugs, and then you go to a place where everyone's doing drugs, and you do a lot of drugs, and you leave just being like, yep, I need to do more drugs.
That was not the experience I had.
Ben, what was your experience?
But it was pretty fun.
Okay.
It was kind of like, you know, it's just a big magic party.
Yeah. Oh,
cool.
Yeah. I met some really cool people. I got to play some card games with my deck. I learned a lot about the modern format because I've never played it before.
No kidding, Home Slice.
Oh, man. Megan.
Oh, man.
Megan's actually, brain grew three sizes
that day. It grew three sizes that day, and my shoes weren't too small for my feet.
Megan was kind enough to send me some audio that these guys recorded while they were at the Grand Prix. I listened to it in my exile at my family's cabin, and my heart was sore for missing out on the fun. But you can all relive what they went through. They're going to talk about what decks they played, some interesting conversations they were a part of, and Affinity, which is a very popular modern deck.
Maria, you should get your sore heart checked out.
It hurts.
I'm not a doctor, but just saying.
Okay, I will. Listeners, enjoy these sights and sounds from Grand Prix Kansas.
So, Ben, here we are at Grand Prix Kansas City. How's it feeling?
There's an energy in the air. There's a lot of people here who are ready to compete, and they don't know that they can't possibly win.
Ben, why are you smushing their little hopes like that?
I'm just saying that my deck is unstoppable.
Yeah, unstoppable. Like it cannot be stopped from doing okay, right?
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
Oh, okay, good. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited. I'm kind of nervous. Are you nervous at all?
Currently, I'm not nervous.
That's good. I'm not enjoying the experience of being nervous. It's not like on purpose nervous where I'm like, oh, I'm so nervous. It's just more of like my body's like,
Okay, so would you say you're having a miserable time?
No, I'm having a great time.
Okay.
But, my hands are kind of shaky. I don't know.
Really? I think you could do surgery with those hands.
Thank you. I've been told that many times. I have good hands for surgery. So, you have a plan for today, Ben? What's your plan?
Well, round one, I'm going to win.
Uh-huh.
Round two, I'm going to win.
Uh-huh.
Round three, my opponent will not show up.
Oh, sweet.
Round four, I will lose, but then my opponent will concede to me.
Wow.
Because he has to go start an orphanage.
Yep. Wait, he needs to start an orphanage? He needs to make a place to put orphans?
Yeah, he wanted to play the first four rounds because he's from the area, but he has a prior commitment to create an orphanage.
Okay.
And then round six, I'll win. And then round seven, I'll win.
Uh-huh.
And then hot tub.
Wow.
You really have some plans, sir.
What's your plan?
My plan is to hopefully go out there and not make a big old jackass out of myself.
Mm.
So I was having this... I'm glad that we played yesterday a little bit, because I think I'm going to look like someone who doesn't know what they're doing. So tell us a little bit about the deck that you're playing.
The deck that I'm playing is based around Nivik Cyclops. So it's kind of similar to the standard deck I've been playing recently. It has Nivik Cyclops, Wee Dragonaut, and Kiln Fiend, and a bunch of instants and sorceries. And some stuff makes them unblockable, some stuff gives them double strike, and then I try to win based on that.
Nice. So you're looking at dealing, you're doing the deal a shit ton of damage in one turn kind of plan.
Yes, I can do 20 damage on turn 3 or 4.
Very nice, sir. Very nice. I am playing what is called a Boggle deck, which apparently is a little trolly. And everyone's a little bit like, what? Because basically all of my cards cost 1 or 2 mana. It's a handful of cheap little 1/1 hexproof creatures. And then you just put a shit ton of auras on them. So you try and get like 4 or 5 auras on these, on this little 1/1 creature, and yeah, hit them for a bunch. So that's my deck's plan. And my plan is to hopefully not fuck that up too hard. Yo, Matthias.
Yeah.
So it's first day of the Kansas City Grand Prix. What's going on?
Well, we tried to find a fourth Daybreak Coronet for the deck you're playing, and everybody, when I asked them, either said they didn't have it politely, or they said, are you really playing that deck? Or they just started laughing with no preamble.
Oh, good. Those are all some really positive responses.
Yeah, those are all pretty good. So we only have 3, but we're running in an Unflinching Courage now instead in your deck, I think.
Gosh darn it, now I can't say that everything costs 2 mana or less.
Yeah, I suppose that does take that away, huh?
Gosh darn it. So tell us a little bit about what you're playing this weekend.
I am playing Scapeshift, which I haven't played for a long time, but...
Wait, why haven't you played it for a long time?
Valakut's been banned for a long time, and they unbanned it. And now I want to play this deck, because it's sweet. And I had a lot of success with it the last time I played it.
So tell us how it works.
Well, you play lands, and eventually the lands kill them. Because you have this card called Valakut, the Molten Pinnacle, which deals damage when you have a lot of mountains. And so you play a lot of mountains, and you play cards that turn all your things into mountains. And it's a good combo deck. It's not the fastest combo deck out there, but it's pretty nice because it's good against control, because you're winning by playing lands, which you can't really counter.
That's so true.
So you can't counter land drops.
So do you have a plan for today?
Well, I'm gonna go get breakfast after they put up round one. Then I might nap for a bit or walk around. And eventually I'll start playing around 2 o'clock. That'll be sweet.
All right.
I'm gonna win every match. That's the plan.
So how many buys do you have?
I have the full set of 3 buys.
Wow, so you've got a while.
I'm cheating. 3 buys, if you ever have them, it's like plugging in the game genie to your magic. You just like punch in a code and you're like, wow, this is... You mean, so for regularly to make day 2, you have to go 7-2, but I have to go 4-2. You know, 3-3 and I miss, yeah.
Wow. So you're in an alright setup.
Yeah, since having 3 buys, I've had 3 buys for the last couple years. I think I played in about 30 Grand Prix, and like, I've only missed day 2 like 6 times. So they're really, it's like cheating when you have them. You should go, that's how you play Grand Prix trials and stuff.
What a big, fat cheater. Hey guys, it's Ben and Megan again. Say hi, Ben.
Hello.
We're still in the middle of day 1 here at the Grand Prix, and we're gonna recreate a little story that we heard from a guy going down the escalator.
A dramatic reenactment.
So, yeah, like, when I was in Minneapolis,
That's when we started listening, because we were like, we're from Minneapolis.
That triggered a part of our brains that recognizes words that we associate with ourselves.
That's right. And so, anyway.
The limbic cortex.
Thank you, Ben. So we were like, oh, we're listening. So I'm gonna keep going back to being this dude. Oh, so I was in Minneapolis at this PTQ,
hey,
or Grand
Prix.
Hey, we're from Minneapolis. Oh yeah, I was just telling my friend this story. So I was at this convention center playing Magic, and then what happened to him? He scrubbed out. I scrubbed out. I was like, man, I just want to get wasted. And then I was like, wait, there's a wedding in this convention center, and there is free alcohol there. So I went up to my hotel room, I put on the fanciest clothes I had, and I went to the wedding, and they were like, are you so-and-so's cousin? And I was like, yeah, I'm so-and-so's cousin. And then I just drank free drinks all night.
Oh my gosh, random dude on the escalator, that is so weird, because Megan and I came here for a wedding at this convention center, and then we're like, oh my gosh, there's a Magic tournament going on.
I'm gonna run up to my hotel room and grab my box of Magic cards.
And play them.
And then that's how we ended up here.
Amen.
And a dramatic reenactment.
If any of you have any objections about why this dramatic reenactment should not conclude, speak now.
Or forever hold your peace. So Ben.
Hey guys. So first of all, we're here with our friend Matthias Hein. Hi Matthias.
Hey guys.
How's it going? Thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
So Megan and I are deep in this massive sea of modern decks. This is the first time we've played modern, and I think I'm learning a lot. What do you think?
Oh my God. My brain is like, I sit down and I play a match, and my brain is like, can I learn this new lesson? And it's like, I don't know if there's room.
Okay, and so, Megan, what deck have we played more than anything else?
Affinity,
which is short for Affinity for Artifacts, which basically means you play a ton of artifacts, and then you play a ton of cards that are good when you have a ton of artifacts. Is that correct, Matthias?
Well, Affinity used to be this thing where it made all your spells cost less when you had artifacts, but they cut all the cards that have that mechanic. So it actually doesn't have any Affinity cards anymore. But so basically, Affinity, you can also call it robots. It just means the deck plays a lot of artifacts and hits you.
Okay. So here's our question. I played one matchup where the guy went like turn one land, it was an artifact land, played a Mox Opal, he played a Memnite, he played an Ornithopter, he played a Signal Pest.
He played him. Get all the way there.
And then he played the Affinity card that lets you draw two cards.
Dotcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dotcast.
So he didn't empty his entire hand. Just five of them.
It was pretty close.
Six of the seven.
And because anyway, our question is like, is that what all Affinity decks do, or is there like a slower version of Affinity? Because I played another deck that didn't seem like it was quite that explosive.
No, that's what they all want to do.
Okay.
They just don't get to do it all the time.
Okay.
So, no. You like to play all your cards immediately. It's really fun.
Okay.
Basically, the reason Affinity is good is because Cranial Plating is really not fair. That's the best card in the deck by far.
Okay.
And you just put Cranial Plating on something.
Yeah.
I just got Infect Cranial Plating murdered.
Yeah, they put it on Inkmoth Nexus, and they're like, whoa, 10 you with poison. Or, yeah.
Yep, exactly. And you're like, oh, I didn't see that one coming.
I mean, it's not like you were gaining life or anything. And then they were just like, well, hey, how's that life gain looking?
I, in fact, had a lot of life.
That's really unfortunate.
It was kind of sad. But in the next game, I played, what's that white one? The white enchantment.
J-Drake Core and Jesus Crown.
No. I'm talking about the enchantment that you put on the board that says you can't activate artifacts ability.
Oh, Stony Silence, yeah. So the thing about Affinity is because it's playing all artifacts is there's like about seven cards in Magic that are just hilarious when you play them against Affinity. Some of them like blow up all the artifacts or worse. Shatterstorm's good, but there's better ones.
Yeah.
So it's like Ancient Grudge or Kataki.
Yeah.
That's a card that makes all art. You have to pay one mana during your upkeep for each artifact you control or sacrifice it.
Yeah.
So they're just sort of like, all their things die. And like not just the things they have now, but like the thing they're gonna play next turn is also dead, so it's just like they lose.
That's amazing.
I feel like I totally understand Affinity now. Thank you, Matthias.
Yeah,
thanks so much.
What always described to me is when you play Affinity, you get to giggle a lot game one, and then both players sideboard and the other person giggles a lot game two.
I like it.
I do have to say, once I played Stony Silence and he didn't play any cards the rest of the game, I was laughing pretty hard.
They're all just like pieces of metal.
Even my unsummons were great.
All eight of them.
Yep, all eight of them. Cool. Well, guys, thanks for listening to us learn about affinity.
So that lesson about affinity. Oh, Ben.
I learned a lot.
Yes. Oh God. Was one of the millions of lessons
I felt like I
learned that weekend.
God.
Because affinity was just one type of modern deck. I did happen to see a couple of times, and Ben, you saw it a couple of times as well.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It was probably, I felt like it was...
I played it four times, I think, out of the nine rounds.
I want to say I played it at least three.
Yeah. Which is funny, because I feel like...
It was fine.
It was fine? What do you mean?
I mean, like, for so many people playing it...
Yeah.
I would expect it to be better if they're making that decision.
That's true. I did beat like most of them.
Yeah.
I have a question. How did you guys finish the weekend?
I went 6-3.
Well done.
I was out of contention at the sixth round, so that was my third loss. I went 3-3 at that point, but stayed in it because, you know, it was my first modern tournament, and I wanted to play out the deck some more. I had a deck that I really enjoyed. It was it's similar to the deck I've been playing in Standard based on Nivik Cyclops, except there's some other cards in Modern that are similar to it, and I get to like double strike stuff, and I killed a lot of people who were at 20 life.
Nice.
By doing, or like 18 life, because they used their own fetch lands, and then I was like, surprise, I can kill you and
make you. Nice. I finished the weekend tired.
Nice.
Yes.
And our good friend Matthias Hunt placed 12th.
Yep.
Yes.
Well Not done. Too shabby.
No. Nope.
But next time, let's try to bring home the win, huh?
Yeah, come on, Matthias. What are we doing? Are we kidding around here?
Right. Yep. Maybe then you won't have to ride home in the truck.
That happened. I was very tired. I did pretty poorly. I think I was like 4-5, which could be worse. It could be worse.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But I had a really great time. I played a deck that I knew absolutely nothing about. It's called Boggle.
Oh.
And if you play Modern at all, you know what deck I'm talking about.
I don't. Tell me.
It sounds like a game. She'd explained it in a package.
Yes. I did explain it in a package.
I wasn't listening.
Okay. Well, shame on you. Anyways, which was a lot of fun. Sometimes people were very angry at me.
Well,
I had one gentleman who was very angry.
He must not have read your article on magictheamateuring.com called Don't Be a Jerk.
He really could have used that. I should have referred him.
Mm.
All right.
We should make a card that just has a link to that article.
Yes. Oh my God, that would be amazing. And then when someone's being a dick, I can just hand it to them. I do have a set of business cards that just say stop talking. I could probably use one of those in that situation as well.
Then I think you'd be the jerk.
Then I think I'd be the jerk. That's
probably
fair.
Probably.
That's fair. But if you're cursing at me under your breath,
motherfucker,
you deserve it.
I cannot fucking believe
that happened. Oh, yeah. When I say that I made someone angry, I mean so angry that I was shaking when I was in the middle of playing him because I thought that he might start yelling at me.
Holy
crap!
That is
how angry he was.
Can you call a judge to give someone a massage?
I think that they're more well qualified for other things. But that's an opinion.
By other things, what do you mean?
I mean judging magic. Ben! Oh my God. So Ben, if you had one biggest lesson that you would say you learned from the Grand Prix, what would it be?
So I really have not played a lot of Constructed at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my biggest takeaway was just like how quickly I caught on to what to do against Affinity was the only matchup I really played more than once. But by the second or third match, I was like, oh yeah, I got this under control. I know exactly what to do. Yeah. And I did it, and I won, so...
I felt like, for sure, it's funny that you mentioned that, because my lesson kind of, I feel like, is kind of about the same thing.
Yeah.
I realized as I was playing my matches how much I wish I knew about the other decks that people were playing.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's like you said, once I played a couple of affinity decks, it was like, oh, I get this now.
Yeah.
But when you're playing a new deck and it's like, we went in this with very little preparation.
Yeah.
I would say I went in with just about none.
Yeah.
I got a basic rundown of what the other decks that people might be playing were. And people get a lot more involved than that.
It's like I took sex ed in Arizona. That's basically the level of preparation.
Thank you.
Well done.
Yep. Very well done. And it was just like, as I was playing them, I was like, wow, I really wish that I knew more about these decks.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that you don't really, like, limited. It's going to be weird and different
For
everyone's deck.
You just kind of know what cards are out there, and maybe it's in the deck, maybe it's not. Maybe you saw it in the draft.
Yeah, but in Constructed, like, that's a real thing. That's a real part of the game. Is knowing what are the most popular decks that people are going to be playing.
Yep, absolutely. I was also surprised. I was really intimidated going in. I thought everyone would be so hard and like everyone would be just really good. And there were definitely some rounds I played against very good players, but you know they weren't all so hard. There's a lot of a lot of people come from just the area. A lot of people travel. There's some pros there, but I didn't, like, at the beginning of the day, most of the pros aren't playing because they have buys and stuff. So if you at home were intimidated and you're like, I can't cut it at the Grand Prix, give it a shot. You might surprise yourself and play a deck that you made up from a list somewhere you found on the internet.
Are all of our listeners ventriloquist monkeys? Because I think that's the voice you just did.
Ventriloquist monkey?
Wait.
Like a hand puppet that's a monkey.
Then that's a and monkey a, puppet.
That's okay. That's what our...
Are all of our listeners monkey puppets?
I think so. You I mean, most of the ones I met at the tournament.
Yeah, we're monkey puppets.
You guys, those are your new friends.
Yay, friends.
Yay, friends. I hope you're listening.
It was a lot of fun to meet a bunch of new Magic players. Yeah. That was sweet.
Yeah, for reals.
It was real cool.
Did you see anybody doing some cosplay?
No.
Sad.
That'll have to be you, Maria. You have to bring it home.
All right, no problem.
We do have two cards of the week. No, not cards of the week. Two creative cards. We can run through them real quick.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I'll go first because this was inspired by Megan, I believe. And we have a lot of bears in our set we've created.
It's definitely an archetype.
Bear oriented. And I created the card Care Bear. Care Bear.
Oh, okay. And what is this? What's this?
This is a sorcery. It's a little source. And you gain life equal to the power plus toughness of all the bears you control.
But only
the
two twos.
The two twos. Okay. Quite right. Yeah. So it plays well with truck of bears.
Holy shit.
Because you can gain like
40.
40 life.
Nice.
I don't know how much it costs. You guys figure that out.
If you play bear at all.
Yeah.
And truck of bears, you're gaining so much.
But you cannot possibly play bear at all. You have to make sure you cast this before you play bear at all because all your lands are now bears.
All your lands are now bears.
Okay.
We also, on the road trip, we invented the card Counter Bear, which is a counter spell, but it then turns that spell into a 2/2 bear.
Right. So, so it's like rapid hybridization.
Or exactly. Like turn to frog.
It's a counter spell for anything. So it's you play it as a counter.
Counter target spell. Its controller puts into play a 2/2 bear token.
But I like it better where the spell that they played just becomes a bear.
That doesn't make any sense.
But I want it to.
I know you want it to, but we have to maintain the integrity of the game.
Okay, fine.
I think the integrity of the game is extremely suspect in our set.
Well, just wait until I make integrity bear.
We do have truck of bears and bear it all, so.
Oh, you guys, I hope you're keeping track of these cards at home.
I hope you're writing them down, because
we are not.
Crumple them up and throw them away. soon as we spit them out of our mouths.
Yep.
If you guys have any ideas for any cards or creative cards, shoot them at us, not literally, on Twitter. You can follow us at MTAcast.
You can send us an email at magictheamaturing@gmail.com.
Or which one is left?
The website.
The website, Ben.
The website, Ben.
www.magictheamaturing.com.
Follow us on, or not follow us, subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review there and we'll do a pun on your username. We have one we've got to do. I've got it in my brain.
What is it?
All right.
It's a really good review that I kind of want to read on the air because it's so good. So
okay. We're going to save it?
I'm going to save it for a few more
Thank
episodes.
Thank you, person who left
Thank
that
you.
Review.
It's so coming. It's coming. Yeah, but you can do that and also get all our great shows. Win-win.
Nice.
Okay. And Magic Online or whatever.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, you guys.
Ben, that's exciting because this is the first episode that we'll... you guys, I'm on Magic Online. I did it.
How'd you do it?
I'm borrowing a computer that you own.
Wow, that must be really nice of me.
It really is really nice of you, Ben. To be fair, I'm looking at three other computers you own that aren't the one that I'm borrowing. So I think you're doing all right, buddy.
Well, yeah, but what if a burglar comes and then I have to lend another one to a visiting nun who was sent here by the Pope?
Well, in that case, in the burglar situation, it's good that I have your computer because then it doesn't get burgled. And in the case of the nun...
If I had that one, maybe they'd steal it instead of my good laptop.
Yeah.
You're right. Anyways, find us on Magic Online. I'm Ice Cream Socialist.
I'm Horny_Unicorny.
I'm Middle Schooler.
Woo! Bye, guys.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Clink, clink. Drinking.
Good night.
Bye. So I missed a million miles.